And we're off, and I'm glad that you're here once again. It is Friday evening. I might maybe, Toby, once you decide you can install Facebook, I may post a suggestion about maybe changing these sermons, you know, whether or not it'd be a little bit more easier or better. I'm sure I'll back it up some more to give folks more opportunity to install Zoom to join it. I don't know yet, but tonight, let's put our thinking caps on. And I was thinking about this when a question came up, was it Sunday during, I can't remember if it was during Sunday school or was it during Sunday evening. I can't remember. We somehow or another was hitting around about, you know, the meaning of a sermon. And I started thinking about, you know, people that, I'm going to put it bluntly, that claims to be a follower of Christ but sure don't act like they are. They are hit and miss in church. You know, they sometimes come, they sometimes don't. Sometimes they are participating in other things. Sometimes they don't. And I've just been kind of questioning that lately. You know, well, wait a minute. You know, if you truly are of the Lord, you be serving Him the best of your ability all the time, every time. There shouldn't be no part-time. And yet I'm seeing so many Christians acting like they're nothing more than part-time Christians. I know it's blunt, I know it's crude, and I know it's hard, but that's what it seems like they are. Part-time Christians. And I don't think they got a clue what it really means to be a servant. So the question I'm going to pose to you tonight, did you know that Jesus' entire life was one of service? You know, that kind of makes you go, I never thought about it that way. But you know, you think about it. His entire life was nothing more than one of service. And the most notable example of his servanthood to me was of washing his disciples' feet on the evening of his betrayal. And that was recorded for us in John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was fixing to be turned over to the Sanhedrin Council and the Pharisees. He knew he was fixing to go to trial. He knew he was getting close to the cross. And yet he was still serving even all the way to the death of the cross. And see, the instance was most notable both because to me of the setting and because of the mundaneness of his service. Now, like I said, Jesus, of course, knew that it was the night of his betrayal and that the very next morning, if you read the rest on, he knew the very next morning he would suffer on a cross for the sins of the world. He would, from really our viewpoint, have had every reason to be preoccupied with his intimate sufferings. Now, the reason why I'm saying that, because, you know, a lot of times whenever we are enduring trials and hardships and sufferings and pains and distractions and everything else in our life, we get preoccupied with all that. And we kind of forget our main duty. We forget what we really are. We forget what a servant really means. But you know, that night, he could have been preoccupied because he knew he was fixing to go to the cross. He could have kind of just shunned away from people. He could have kind of went quiet. Could have went on to be by himself. But if you look what he did, Jesus took the time to tend to a duty that of washing the feet of the guest. Now, pay attention to this, because you think about it, that was usually left to the lowest servant in a man's household. I mean, that was the lowest of the low, dirtiest of the dirty. That was just for someone who is nobody, not even be recognized. I mean, no middle class or upper class servant wouldn't even dare think about washing the guest's feet. That was a dirty and nasty and filthy job. But yet Jesus, became a servant and washed their feet that night. And he did this under full awareness of his own divine dignity. John says of him, this is what John says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from his meal, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he was wrapped around him. You can look at that. That's in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. It was not in spite of his greatness, but because of his greatness that Jesus served his disciples on that very evening. Though his own attitude towards servanthood, he taught us one thing. He taught us that true greatness in the kingdom of God consists not in positions or authority, but in serving one another. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and starting with verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those of heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, glory of God the Father. Folks, you know, when you look at this, he became humble. He became a lonely servant. Started washing disciples' feet. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as I just read that and I see that your Son Jesus, with all the wisdom and all the power, having the kingdom at his hand, Jesus could have just sat there and been in the meeting. He could have just fellowshiped with his disciples. He could have just broke bread and had one more last time with them, because he knew he was fixing to go to the cross. But what Jesus did, he became a humble servant even that night before his betrayal. I don't know if we can even say the same, Lord, but you know what? I ask you to help us and those who are here tonight. Help them understand what it means to be a real servant. Help them understand, though, even though we may face difficulties, we shouldn't let things distract us. We shouldn't let things get in our way. That we really need to have a servant heart. And we need to serve you gladly. I know at times it seems like we struggle a lot. I know at times we have difficulties. I know at times it just seems like it's impossible to keep going from one day to the next. But that shouldn't stop us from being a real servant. So Father, I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Help those understand what this message may be. I don't know what the message means or what it may be for or whatever it's going to be. I just ask you just to speak to their hearts. Protect them, watch over them, take care of them, and love them. And let them know that you love them. We pray all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So folks, I am going to title this message tonight. It's called A Real Servant's Heart. And that's why I told you a little bit earlier in the introduction, you know, thinking about, you know, that night when Jesus was fixing to be betrayed. I was thinking about what he showed us. I was thinking about all the things, what it means to be a real servant. Now, I described him washing the feet. Many of us will think, yeah, not that nasty feet. Now, not making fun of me, none of y'all would want to wash my feet, because I tell you what, man, if I kick your shoes off, you'll probably just keel over right there on the spot. So you're probably like, oh, I don't want to touch Pastor Jim's feet. But you know what? That didn't bother Jesus. Jesus himself is God, and look what he did. He washed those disciples' feet. So if you and I, if we are going to master the scriptural principles of true biblical fellowship, we must master this one true greatness in the kingdom of heaven consists in serving one another. And Jesus himself said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. That's Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. See, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus recognized that he was the sovereign God, that he was both creator and sustainer of the universe. His incarnation and humiliation did not alter the fact that he was the eternal God, the Son. And in full knowledge of who he was and the authority that was in his possession, in his control, he arose from the table and began to wash the feet of the disciples. See, in the mind of Jesus, acts of mundane service were not inconsistent with authority and greatness, but rather part of it. You see, for us to be real disciples, we must be willing to serve with a true servant heart, with gladness, without grumbling, without complaining, without bellyaching. Do we all bellyache? I do. Do we all murmur? Unfortunately, I do. Do we complain? Yeah. Now, I might just be ratting myself out, but I don't see no amens or no yeses coming up in the chat window, but yes, I do. And I think about this, I should. I should be willing and gladly wanting to serve. And yet what Jesus did that night, could he complain? I ain't washing those stinky feet. But see, what he did that night, he showed them, none of us is far above the other. We all must learn that lesson to become true, humble servants and be willing to serve. You see, that's the greatness of it. That's the greatness of knowing that you and I has a true servant heart. So it brings us to our next question. What is greatness? Wow, Jim. That could cover many areas, I bet. Probably could. But the answer to this was Jesus' concept of greatness, and obviously his is the correct one, is so contrary to the word senses of value that even we Christians have a difficulty grasping it. Even the disciples, they vow among themselves for positions rather than for the privilege of serving one another. The mother of James and John asked Jesus himself that her two sons might sit one at his right hand and one at his left in his kingdom. And on that memorable evening of the Last Supper, the disciples, again, disputing among themselves, who is the greatest? You see, their action may seem to crass to us today, but essentially, you and I are no different. Our actions may be more suitable and refined, but our attitude too often is one of striving for a position rather than the privilege of serving one another. Whoa, you had to go there, didn't you? That makes a lot of people uncomfortable when you say things like that, and many Christians today, and I'm just going to say it straight up, many Christians today don't have a clue what it really means to be a real servant. They don't know what it means to have a servant's heart. Many are just striving for positions to be recognized by others. Many are willing to have those positions rather than serving one another. And that is sad. That is sad. And folks, let me tell you something right now. Competition has no place in the fellowship of believers. Do you get that? Competition has no place in the fellowship of believers. Rather, we are to honor one another above ourselves. And that's a tall order to fill, isn't it? But let me tell you something. Serving one another within the body is a very practical and concrete way to honor one another. By serving, I simply mean that doing helpful deeds for one another. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. See, Dr. Trotman, he cleaned to a national pastor's shoes. I don't know if some of y'all know who he is, but it's just a story I have read and I had to add this to it. But he cleaned to a national pastor's shoes. Paul, shipwrecked on the island of Motilla, gathered a pile of brushwood to put on the fire built for his fellow passengers. You see, each of these acts was incredibly simple, but mundane in and of itself. In other words, they were serving others above themselves. They were serving others above themselves. But this is what servanthood within the fellowship of believers is all about. Easy, being alert to the little things that needs to be done and doing them. And the reason why I say this is because some of you who are on my Facebook group, I think I reposted a video. There's a guy who's in a wheelchair, basically. He can't really stand. You know, he hardly has any use of his limbs. But he is in a wheelchair, holding on to a vacuum cleaner, vacuuming the sanctuary of a church. Wow. Now that's serving. And I know some able-bodied people that has no physical problems will not lift a finger to vacuum carpet in a church, will not lift a finger to wipe dust off the pews, will not lift a finger to empty the trash cans, will not lift a finger to clean up the restroom, will not lift a finger to help someone else in need. Folks, that is a shame. That really is a shame. That's telling me those type of people do not have a real servant's heart. So now we come to another question, all right? What makes the characteristics of a servant? Well, one of the beatitudes of servanthood is that it requires no special talent or special gifts. Of course, we are to use our spiritual gifts to serve one another. And if God had given us certain natural abilities, we also want to be good stewards of those abilities to serve others in the body. But it requires no special gift or talent to wash feet, to clean shoes, or to gather firewood. All that is required is a servant's attitude. All that is required, my friends, is having a servant's attitude. Of course, God must give us a servant attitude. We cannot change our hearts. We can't do it. Forget about it. Don't even try. Only God can do that. But we can do those things which God ordinarily uses to change us. And the reason why I say this is because I go back to some of my experience when at my first church I was at, I saw my pastor one day on his knees in the restroom cleaning out the commodes, cleaning underneath them, cleaning behind those sinks and scrubbing the floors. And I saw that and I said, wow. Here's a pastor of a church cleaning those restrooms and those stinky toilets. And I was complaining about picking up trash in the yard. That changed my outlook very quick. Before long, me and my wife took over those duties of cleaning those filthy restrooms, of cleaning the church. Pastor, we told him, look, focus on other things. We'll take care of this. You see, we can't change our hearts, but God can when He places things like that in your path. Learn how to put others above you. You see, God Himself uses the scriptures, prayer, and obedience to show us how to be real servants. So we must fill our minds with the scriptures that teaches servanthood. And many of them cited in this sermon that I'm reading to you today, that I just read to you and I will read to you. We must pray earnestly for God to give us a heart of a real servant. And then we must obey. This is, we must respond to every opportunity to serve which He places before us. And make note of this, as I said, you and I, we must respond to every opportunity to serve which He places before us. And we cannot pick or choose our occasions of serving others if we want God to give us a servant's heart. No, we can't do that. He changes us in the midst of all obedience. He changes us. The other question is now, so why is it important to have a servant heart for God? Why is it so important? Very simple. If we must become servants, if we want to experience true fulfillment, we need to become lowly, meek, and humble. Do you get that? The biggest one of all is learn how to humble oneself. And as God's servants, you and I should have no other agenda except to do His will. You see, like I just said earlier, we cannot pick our occasions in serving others if we want God to give us a servant's heart. Because sometimes God may place you in a situation you really don't want to be around that. You really don't want to try to help that person. You really just don't want to be in all that drama and this and that and everything else. You just don't want to deal with it, period. But God might be putting you in that position for a reason, in order for you to understand what it really means to serve Him, what it really means to humble yourself in order to show Christ to them. Sometimes that's not fun. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard. But sometimes when we're placed in a position to serve, we need to let Him humble our hearts. That, my friends, will change you. That's why I said, when we want to experience His full will, we have to be lowly, meek, and humble. And when we become faithful to do His will, He will fulfill the aspirations He desires for us in our lives. And even those things, listen to this carefully, let me repeat this again so you don't get lost. When you truly learn what it means to have a servant's heart and be faithful to do His will, He will fulfill the aspirations He desires for us in our lives and even those things we desire. Think about that one. Think about it. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. As God's faithful servant, we share in His success. We have a direct access to His power and wealth, and are able to walk in His authority. Let's get our hearts into a servant mode and watch how God brings about all the things we need and want. The reward of servanthood is to be like our Master for all eternity. So, with that and all I just said, what can we do to ensure we maintain a servant's heart and not grow cold or dull in our Christian walk with the Lord? What can we do? Well, 10 things I'm going to go through real quick. The first thing is, read your Bible daily. Do not be content to skim through a chapter merely just to satisfy your conscience. No, don't do that. Hide the Word of God in your heart, because it comforts, it guides, it corrects, it encourages. See, folks, in the Bible, there's all we need is there. Second, learn the secret of prayer. That's right. Prayer is communicating. Every prayer you pray will be answered. That's right, it will be. But sometimes the answer may be yes. And sometimes no. And sometimes it is, wait, my child, wait. But nevertheless, it will be answered. The third thing is, rely consistently on the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit prays for us. We see that in Romans chapter 8. And what a comfort that He should be to the weakest of us. Stand aside, my friends, and let Him take over the choices and decisions in your life. Fourth, most important, attend church regularly. See, the visible church is the Christ organizations upon earth. We are the church. But a visible church is an organization here on this planet. And Christians need one another. We need to gather together to worship God. And nothing can take the place of church attendance. Nothing. The fifth thing is, be a witnessing Christian. Now, like I said earlier, sometimes you may get thrown in certain situations in your life. Sometimes you may get placed in some situations with your family you just don't want to care to be around, because you get all stressed up and wound up about that, and it causes you to get distracted. But see, Satan can use that against you to pull you further away from God. And if you're not careful, you can become held captive by such things. So regardless, we must be serving all the time. And the best way to be serving is be a witnessing Christian. Stand firm in your faith and let them see Jesus in you. We witness, folks, and really in two ways, by life and by the Word. Two ways. There's no other way. By our lives and the Word. And the two, where possible, should go hand in hand. Sixth thing is, let love be the ruling principle of your life. Jesus said to those who follow Him, by this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. The greatest demonstration of the fact that we are basically the greatest demonstration of that fact is we are Christians that love one another. We are Christians that love one another. The seventh thing is, tonight, in order to have a real servant's heart, be an obedient Christian. Let Christ have first place and all the choices you make, don't give him second best. Give him first. Give God all things. Most important, number 8, learn how to meet temptation. That's right. Temptation will come your way. See, temptation is not sin, folks. It's not. It is yielding to that is sin. That's what temptation is. When you're tempted, you're not in sin. It's when you yield to it, it's when you become in sin. Let Christ through the Holy Spirit do the fighting for you. Don't try to fight it. Walk away from it. The 9th thing is, be a wholesome Christian. In fact, our lives and our appearance should commend the gospel and make it attractive to others. And the reason why I'm emphasizing on this, folks, because again, if you're claiming to be a real servant of Christ, now, we're not trying to throw what I call a sales pitch, you know, like vacuum cleaning salesmen or whatever. No, we're not trying to throw a gospel as a sales pitch, but our actions, by us being humble, by us being a real servant, by us showing love to one another, we should make the gospel really attractive to us, not to condemn somebody, not to treat them like infidels. We should show them Christ-like love. I know at times you want to rip their heads off. I know at times they feel like they want to rip you down. I know at times it's so disgusting you don't want to be around certain people like that, but you know what? Be a real servant. Show the gospel to them and let the Holy Spirit do what he does best. He changes, not we. We don't make those changes in that person. He changes. And number 10, the best of all, live above your circumstances. That's right. Took me a while to learn this one. It really did. I've been serving the Lord for 15 years, and you know what? I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still understanding new ways to be a real servant. And this is why I said this most important, number 10, live above your circumstances. Because sometimes circumstances in your life will pull you down. Don't let your circumstances get you down, my friends. Don't. If it does, it's because you're letting it get you down. We can testify to that to some people we have talked to in this chat. Folks, learn to live graciously within them and realizing the Lord himself is with you. Those are 10 basic guidelines that I have learned to myself of how to be a real servant, or really how to have a true servant's heart. So to sum all this up in this message, very easily, learn to be a real servant of Jesus and learn how to surrender your life to him rather to yourself. Look at what Jesus did that night. He knew he was fixing to go to the cross. Yes, we basically could think of him washing the disciples' feet. But you know what? He did a lot more that night. He did. He preached. He taught. He healed. He performed miracles in order to help others. And all of that he did that night, if you pay close attention to that chapter, he never called attention to himself. Never. He poured out his very life so that others might be saved, never thinking for a moment to save himself. And time again, Jesus said to those whom he had help. And that's what he always told them. Don't tell anyone what has happened. That's right. If you notice that and pay close attention to it, he always said that when he helped somebody, don't tell anyone what has happened. I always wondered about why he told them that. And I think most of the times he did that so we wouldn't get so puffed up, get swelled up in the head, and brag about what we did, or what we got out of him, or how he helped me. I think that's why he kind of told us that, but you know what? I think he made us think, don't tell nobody what he has done. Let your actions speak for itself. You see, my friends, God has called us to serve others just as Jesus served others. He didn't save you or call you to service so that you might be exalted. That's why I got out of that when he said, do not tell others. Nope. That ain't what he did for you. See, to me, he saved you so that you might serve others and bring praise and honor to God's holy name, because the ultimate reward for having a servant's heart is having the joy of the Lord, and the reward of heaven once this life is over, and hearing Jesus say this. Pay attention to this. Because I hope you who are here tonight, and those who should have been here tonight, I hope they hear this too. And many other Christians, I really hope they hear this. I really hope they hear Jesus say this. And this is what I'm looking forward to, and I pray, and I hope that I do hear this when my time comes. And I hope that he will look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Have the real servant's heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I don't know what the reason for this message was. I had something else in mind, but you have some particular reason that led me to this. I'm not going to fight it, nor am I going to try to understand it. All I'm going to do is be what I can always be, an obedient, humble servant. There are times I don't understand your ways and what you want, which direction you lead us. And there's times when I don't understand when you place us into circumstances. There are times when we go through periods of dry seasons that I cannot figure it out myself. The only thing I can think of at this very moment is just serve. When we don't understand it, can't comprehend it, when things don't look good in our lives, I think what you're waiting for us to do is see if we really serve you or serve ourselves. So Father, I know there's times I don't do things right. I do apologize, and I'm sorry for those times. So all I can do is just try to be a better servant to you. May not get it right the first time, but hopefully you would help me. And hopefully things will get better. So with this, I pray this to you to help me have a better servant's heart here on tonight. Those folks who are here tonight, I don't know what this message meant for them, but all I can do is ask of you, touch their hearts too. Each one of them I know is enduring some kind of difficulties or hardships or trials or whatever it may be. Maybe we all need to be reminded at times to be a real servant to you and not of ourselves. To quit looking at other people, to quit looking at other things, and quit looking at wants and desires and whatnot. Maybe we just need to be looking at you and focused on you and serving you and doing what you called us to do. Become a better witness, then you will take care of the rest. Maybe that's what we need to do. I don't know. So I'm going to try my best, and I need your help to do it. So I pray in the name of Jesus, give me the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to do so here on out. Help me become a better servant. Help me learn what it means to decrease in order for you to increase. It's not me trying to exalt myself. It's about me trying to exalt you. So in Jesus' name we all pray this. Amen.